Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour for May 2nd, 2019. Tonight I'll be talking about private space programs, some updates. I'm going to be talking about physics and math of outer space. And I'm starting out with population and some fun facts here, as I call them. And when I say that sarcastically, typically. But on population and census. Now, we're in the year 2019. It's been 9 years since the last world census. So in a sense, we're running on fumes. We're running on speculation of what the population growth would be based on numbers that were taken 10 years ago, basically, 9.5 years ago. What does that mean? Well, what it means is the world population could have exploded, and I'll explain to you that it did explode in those past 9 years. When you have exponential growth, that means that, and by the way, I'm not talking about third world countries, I'm talking about the United States having exponential growth. And the reason now we have to include Mexico and the what they call the triangle countries, the Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, is that those countries have an unbelievable population explosion going on. And if you think that the number of people draining out of those countries with no economic opportunity, if you think that's, oh, there's just going to be a few coming, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because the people are leaving because there's nothing for them to do there. I mean, you're not going to have, you know, a $50,000 a year job for all these people. It's simply not going to happen, and especially in those countries. And I'll preface this by saying that the foreign aid that is sent to those countries, which in a sense, in the monetary sense, for those countries is quite a bit of money. It could be used for investing in roads, which would help commerce, or infrastructure or agriculture to give them better agricultural methods by tractors so they could improve farming. It's not. It goes into the pockets of the politicians. Not a dime, not a thin dime gets to the people for any benefit of those people. Okay, so now I'm just going to look at numbers tonight, strictly at numbers. And I'm going to start with a little story here. The other night, it was actually Sunday, Maria Bartiromo, I can always have trouble with her name. I think that's how you pronounce it, Bartiromo. And she's a host on Fox on Sunday morning. She went to the border and the people were crossing. And the people were panting. They were, you know, it's hot. The border, the Texas border with Mexico is probably one of the hottest places on the planet. It's adverse conditions at best. But there was a woman who looked like, you know, having lived in Latin America, I would say she was probably 40 years old. She looked like she was probably 60, but probably was about 40 years old. She had two daughters. One was age 10, one was age 8, and a baby. And she was carrying a baby, and she was pregnant. Okay, so there's a woman who's got a baby in the stomach, a little baby who she was carrying, who probably was certainly less than 1 year old, and then two young daughters, age 10 and 8. Okay, now let's look strictly in terms of statistics and numbers. The mother, okay, so that's four people there. The daughters, by the way, this woman probably will continue to have more babies. The daughters, age 10, statistically, and this is based on the culture, by the time the 10-year-old daughter is 13, in 3 years, she'll be having her first baby. By the time she's age 20, she will have five babies. The 8-year-old girl in 5 years will be having her first baby. And 5 to 7 years after that, she will have 5 babies. So you're looking at the mother, the pregnant mother with the little baby, with the 2 daughters, in about 12 years, you will be looking at 14 people there. Okay? So 4 to 14 within 10 years. That is the rate at which the populations are multiplying in these countries. If you look at, now, last month, I did a discussion. I spent most of the month on my paid cast talking about water and the difficulty of getting water to locations on Earth. Now, water is one of the critical elements that everybody needs. And I gave an example. I'll just give the end results. Looking at the country of Sierra Leone, 7.5 million people on the west coast of Africa, 72,000 square kilometer area. That means that there's one person per hectare. That's one person per about every 2.5 acres in the English system. Okay, well, they're doubling their population every 10 years. By the year 2030, there will be 15 million people in that country. And it's a very poor country. They do have water there. But the example I gave was, what if this was a country, like many countries, that doesn't have good water resource locally? And, you know, I've even had this idea. We could take the water, harvest it from Antarctica, or we could harvest it from Greenland, where the water is just pouring off into the ocean. And we could harvest that water and take it to places in green areas and provide water for the people. So I ran the numbers. Okay, so let's take a supertanker and take the volume of that supertanker that's typically used to carry oil. We convert it to carry water. It goes to Greenland. It takes 2 weeks to fill up with water, this river flowing out of Greenland. We just pour it into the boat. Okay, takes 2 weeks. Takes 2 weeks for that boat to go from Greenland to Sierra Leone. It takes another 2 weeks to unload that water, and another 2 weeks for the boat to go back to Greenland. Okay, so this is a super tanker. You think, wow, that's a lot of water. Everybody should be happy. But let's take a look at just 20 gallons a day per person, which is the minimum of water, like most people in the free world, what we call the number one countries, the first world, use in some cases 100 gallons of water per person today. Now, mind you, that this is for watering plants, agriculture, for everything else, but for a person, just the person, not including everything else. But this is for doing laundry, showering, cooking, everything else you use water for. We say 20 gallons a day. Okay, so at that rate, it would take 83 super tankers. Now remember, Sierra Leone is a little country, 7.5 million people. What would it take in terms of super tankers running full time to provide that country with 20 gallons of water per day per person? It would take 83 oil super tankers working full time to provide that country with its minimum supply of water. So now you possibly can understand the scale of things when we start talking about millions of people with lack of critical resources like water. Okay, now let's talk about food. We have the same issue. It's a matter of growing the food someplace else and bringing it there. And the unfortunate reality is that it ain't going to happen. I'll tell you a little story. When I first got to Mexico City, I'm a young guy. I already have my college degree, and I'm going down to Mexico. I'm teaching the wealthy kids of the wealthy people in Mexico. These are Mexicans and American business diplomats from all over the world. Their kids went to a special school, and I taught there. And I tutored them outside of the school. I would go to the houses of these very rich people, and I'd go tutor them in math and physics, etc., so that they did good in school. So I got to know these people, but the I made my, you know, I made money there. I made okay money for the a foreigner being in that country. And I would go down the street and I would see all these poor people. So I started giving, you know, a couple pesos. And once I was with this guy and he goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm giving these people some money. And you'd give a peso to one, then they'd all run after you because they would all these other people would see somebody gave something. So then now you have a cloud of people around you and you start giving out pesos or a couple pesos or something like that. And this guy said, look, he said, you don't have enough money. If you were a millionaire, you don't have enough money to give all these people. At that time, Mexico City had a population of 10 million people. In 10 years, that had doubled. And I thought that it had doubled because of influx of people from the country. No, the entire country of Mexico was doubling its population, including the city. And people living in the streets, sleeping on, you know, on just on the pavement with nothing, or maybe a family living with they found a piece of corrugated steel and they propped it up against a wall someplace, and that's where they were living. There were people everywhere, and it was doubling. The population was doubling, and it's still skyrocketed from there. We're now decades and decades later. The 2010 census of Mexico put the population at 107 million, and Mexico, with a mortality rate of 50%, in other words, 50% of the babies die before they're age like six. With a 50% mortality rate, they're still doubling their population every 10 years, which means we're now in 2019, which means that we're on the cusp, and it probably has already happened, that Mexico now is a country of 215 million people. And probably about a third of them are in the United States right now, which would put the... And that's about akin to the, if we go back about 10 or 15 years, the population of the United States, probably about 20 years, the population of the U.S. was 276 million. It was going down. It was like Russia. Russia's population, about 107 million, and going down. But Mexican's population is doubling. And that's the same in El Salvador and Guatemala, Honduras. But the thing is those countries are growing at a much more rapid rate. And there's no food, there's no opportunity, there's no jobs there. And even if they had some kind of strong economy, the majority of people in their population are under age 10. So these are kind of the invisible people. A little plate of rice, a little piece of meat, maybe a vegetable, something very minimal, and that's all they need to survive, to grow, to get up to age 10. Then after that, they're out on the street. There's no place for them to go. There's nothing for them to do. So they very quickly learn to rob and steal and then have more babies. And so they start having babies at age 13. By the average girl in these countries, by age 13, certainly by age 15, has their first baby. By age 20, they have four or five without knowing who the fathers are not around. So, and of course, with the culture, the boys are encouraged to go out and get girls pregnant because that's a symbol of their manhood. So this is the culture that's streaming into the United States right now. And this, they're doubling. In fact, the population growth in Guatemala is getting close to two. They're doubling their population every 2 years. And it's just a massive population explosion. Now, add to this, because people in other countries know that the southern border of the U.S. is like a sieve, they are flying into El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, from Cuba. They're flying from other Caribbean islands. They're flying from China. They're flying from India. They're flying in from the Arab countries. All you got to do is get a flight into those countries. You get out, get off of the plane, and start walking north. And that's what's going on. So this massive population bomb. So if you think that what you've seen so far is a lot, you ain't seen nothing yet. This is just the beginning. And the once the people get into the United States, they don't have a place to go. They're going to live the same. They're going to try and find some place with people that are similar. And then the belief is in the United States, the more babies you have, the more ability you will have to stay here. And that's the belief. So as soon as those girls get here, or mothers, they start having babies. The growth here, like I said, there's probably, you know, the official numbers are so ridiculous. They say there might be 11 million illegal Mexicans in the United States. There's that many in East L.A. I mean, there's easily 60 million illegal Mexican adults in the country, in the United States at this time. Not counting the little kids under age 10 who now have medical services and are not going to have the mortality rate that they had, but they're having babies, probably more babies in the United States than they had when they were in their own countries, Mexico, Salvador, etc. But also you have a mixture. Now to boot, what we're finding out is that there are training camps, not only the drug cartels, but the Islamic extremists have terrorist training camps in Mexico. And those people are coming across the border as Mexicans, or they don't know. They're flooding the border. So, and as I said, this is just the beginning. Now, let me get back to some numbers here talking about the United States. The United States now has an official, they say official, but once again, we're dealing with the 2010 census. The 2020 census is a little ways away, but there's really no counting of how many people are in the United States. But the official number is 340 million. Okay, so now if you couple that with Mexico, at 200 million, we have well over a half a billion people in the North American continent today. Canada has a fairly good influx of people also, but Canada has some blocks on who comes into their country because they have United States border to the south, so people are not crossing into Canada that way. The only other way to get to Canada is on a boat or by airplane. And so they have ways of limiting who comes into the country, and they're actually doing it. They don't have a border where people just can walk across. And if you get there, you're not going to be welcomed into their welfare system unless you are officially there, which is different than the United States. Okay, so anyway, I wanted to go off on a tangent on this because you have to understand that exponential growth, once these poverty-stricken countries start to hit that exponential curve, it's called the knee, like the knee you walk on, your knee, of the exponential growth curve. Now, all of a sudden, the world population, and this is including the United States, if you look at a population growth map of the world, of the countries that are going to double their population in the next 10 years, there's a band of countries across Central Africa, the island of Madagascar. You look at India, which is going to double. India is going to have, by the year 2030, India will have close to 3 billion people. China is growing at the same rate. And what's interesting about India is most of those people are up on the Nepal border, and of course over in Bangladesh to the east. But the world population is going to skyrocket. in the next 10 years. By the year 2030, we're almost to 2020, in that next 10 years, the world population will double, and that includes the United States. A lot of people don't know that the three most populous countries in the world are India first, slightly ahead of China, and third is the United States. And some people say, oh, but we're far behind. We have a quarter of the number of people of India. But if you have to include Mexico, because we really, for all practical purposes, do not have a border between the United States and Mexico. And that includes Salvador, Honduras, etc. And so, literally, in the year 2030, the United States, according to statistics, and this is based on very sound mathematical growth analysis, the United States will have about 700 million people, double what it is today. And now, if you look at this compared to the entire world population, it'll be about 5%. 5% of the world's population will be in the United States, and we will have 700 million people. It's to the point where the world simply does not have enough resources. And all it's going to take, for example, there's an issue going on in California right now. In the Central Valley, where the 50% of the vegetables, fruit, and nuts come from for the United States, 50% of the food coming into the United States that supports the United States comes from that portion of California. And because of the drought situation, the area was sinking in the valley by up to about a foot a year because they were pumping underground water. So it is now, the valley there is probably 10 feet below where it used to be. Bridges no longer are above the water line. The supply of food is very tenuous. Let me just put it that way. We also have a situation where a lot of the food being produced in the United States is being used for biofuel. And a lot of it is being exported. And really, if you look at it, it's corn and soybeans. It's not edible. It's monster crops. I mean, it's monster food. It's Monsanto. We don't have a very good situation here. And it comes back to two things, resources and world population. There are people that make an estimate of the correct number of people for planet Earth. What can the planet Earth support? And support it genuinely with conservation, etc., without using all the resources right up to the brink of existence. And that number is what I believe myself, after looking at the numbers and studying water and water purification and water resources, etc. What I believe, and a lot of other people say this also, is that about 1 billion people in the world is the correct population. Now, the world had 1 billion people in the year 1804. That's when the world had a billion people, 1804. And it has grown steadily ever since. And see, this is the exponential curve. So as in 1804, the growth rate was not that high because you had, for example, not good transportation of food. People did not have good diets. The ability to get, say, fruits and vegetables and a decent plate of food was not there. So the lifespan of people was not that long on a worldwide basis. Now you have the world expectation in the first world countries getting up, 60 to 70 years. I would recommend that all of you join my paid cast and look at the April paid cast dealing with population, population growth, water resources, etc. And it's very interesting, while the United States is going to double its population in the next 10 years up to 700 million, Russia is not expected to grow its population at all. It's going to maintain the same population of about 100, they estimate about 120 million people in Russia. So very interesting. Russia has an economy the size of the country of Italy, yet it has a military that basically is equal to the United States, equal to China. So it does not, having a big military doesn't mean that you have a lot of people. Of course, China has a massive land army, but you don't. Russia has innovation. And they, I know from dealing with people there, is they don't expect to make a lot of money off the war industry, as in the United States. The United States is paying humongous, unbelievable, gargantuan amounts of money, and they're not getting products. Okay, and so I'm just going to leave you with this population issue with one other little fun fact, that this year, 2019, illegal Mexicans will surpass blacks in number of people voting. So anyway, where's it going from here? You be the judge. But these are just numbers. I'm a scientist. I'm not telling you what to do about it. I'm not telling you anything else. These are just the facts. And of course, these are the things that nobody wants to talk about because everybody's got a political motivation of some kind for wanting more illegals here. And I'll just leave you with this other little fun fact. If Democrats believe that flooding the country with illegal aliens is going to increase their vote, I guarantee you, as soon as those people step foot into this country and get here, they're going to try and block other people from getting here from those same countries because they left there. They're the lucky ones. They're the ones that got a foot into the United States, and maybe they'll somehow get to stay here. But the last thing they want is all of those other people coming from their country to be here too, because they understand it's an issue of resources, but also they know that in those countries, you cannot walk down the street with your purse or your wallet or anything else because you will be robbed. And the people who are most affected by robberies and theft and criminal activity from illegal aliens are illegal aliens. So they're not going to jump up and down and vote Democrat because they got here a freebie. They're going to turn around and vote for Trump to put up that wall so nobody else can get here. You know, I don't know what they're thinking. The Democrats are smoking some funny stuff over there. I don't know. But their brains are, you know, they don't understand. They simply don't understand. They're doing anything they can do to try and win an election. That's what's going on. And the country is paying a major price. The other issue is, what do you do in these countries where there's a population bomb going off? Well, I don't know. Potentially there could be enough food for those people. But they're not going to have jobs. They're going to work by hand in agriculture, so they're going to have enough food to eat and put on the table. But and actually, those countries could support those populations with local agriculture. But not what happens. They live in the cities, and that's where the huge population growth was. It's in the countryside also. You cannot go to these foreign countries. You cannot find a 15-year-old girl that doesn't have a baby. Just a quick note, a listener sent this in on the Real ID coming in this coming year, where some states have complied and their state driver's license qualifies as a what they call a Real ID or a federal ID. This is for TSA purposes. This is for transportation, in other words, getting on an airplane. And, of course, this is, once again, the old protection racket. Create a dilemma, you know, flood the country with the illegal aliens, and then just, oh, we have this this problem, and now the local people who are not criminals, they're just law-abiding citizens, all have to register and get a federal ID of some kind if you want to travel on an airplane or on any kind of public transportation. Okay, so anyway, just telling you that that is coming. And if you do international travel, of course, you need a passport anyway. But it's going to get to the point where, like in, say, World War II Germany, you had to have your papers on you. You could be stopped at any moment. Somebody, any level of authority in the police state where they would stop you and say, "Where are your papers?" You'd have to pull them out and show them to you. You go to 10 feet down the sidewalk, and the next guy, "Where's your papers?" You got to pull them out and show them. And that's what it's coming to. So anyway, that's the benefit of having politicians allow terrorism. And I'll tell you something, it would have been a lot worse if the Wicked Witch from the West had gotten into office. This country, it was already happening under Obama, where people would wake up one day and find this illegal alien family living next door. The government shipped them in the middle of the night, put them in a house, and basically supporting them there. All over the country, this was happening. And Trump put a stop to that. That's what one of the big concerns of the American populace that Trump took care of, took and he's trying to take care of business on the southern border, is illegal immigration. The Clintons had a ship, a cargo ship, where they were bringing them in shipping containers and dumping them off. There's, oh no, I tell you. Anyway, just another quick comment here. Lately, I've been dealing with three-blade wind turbines, those, I call them three-blade wind monsters that don't work, and solar panels. Now, I just saw something that completely blew my mind, completely. Some yo-yo is out there saying that we could run is alleging that the country could run on solar panels, replace all of the nuclear coal, natural gas, and petroleum with solar panels. And so I looked at the numbers that this guy was propounding, and it's absolutely ridiculous. Now, I'm going to give you an idea of how much this would cost, given the current rate of $1, so about $1.20. This is for commercial solar installations. This is not money that would be spent to put a in solar installation on your house. But it's about $1.20 per watt. That's about the going rate for installing solar panels for commercial. So at any rate, he comes up with a number. I'll just throw some numbers out here. If you're savvy about numbers, that's great. If not, I'll just give you the punchline. So there's 4 million gigawatt hours per year that the United States uses in energy. That's an estimate. And so going through the concept that a gigawatt hour of solar panels takes up 2.8 acres, that was not too far off. I mean, I would agree with that, give or take a little bit. And now the price tag to do this, there yeah, there isn't even a number. Okay, we have thousands, millions, billions, and trillions. And we usually don't talk about money in terms of anything bigger than trillions, because if you took all the money in the world that was ever made, that ever could exist in the future, you wouldn't get out of the trillions. Well, this guy's idea of putting solar panels up to run the whole country gets out of the trillions into the next one. So I call it a solillion. And it would take $4 solillion. Not trillion, not billion, 4 solillion. There's actually a real number. Quadrillion would be the next state of money. But since they're dealing with this ridiculous idea of solar panels, now, okay, it would take, this is four with one, two, three, four, 15 zeros after it. That's how much money it would take to do this guy's ridiculous idea. This would be a trillion solar panels at 400 watts each. It would take up an area the size of the state of Nebraska, and The efficiency of these panels is around 20%. That's the current going rate for efficiency of solar panels, but it loses 1% of efficiency for every year. So in 10 years, the lifetime of the solar panels goes away. You'd have to remove them and replace them with solar panels. Now, not to mention that no factory, even the Tesla gigawatt factories, could in no way, shape, or form produce a trillion solar panels. The other issue is that this does not include the batteries. So solar doesn't work at night. I hate to inform you about this, some of these people. But then you need batteries. The cost of batteries is typically, in a typical array, and this is what Tesla is doing now. So this factor is taken off of recent sales by Tesla with solar panels and batteries. The battery bank is typically 6 times the amount of wattage storage as the solar bank itself. So now we're talking about massive amounts of batteries. And once again, the batteries would take up an area, you know, like maybe the half the size of the state of Nebraska at a cost that would exceed the $4 trillion mark. So, you know, this is so ridiculous. When people start talking about this and going, gee, we could just use solar panels. We could just use solar panels and put it all over the state of Nebraska and power our country. Excuse me. My forehead is getting dented from hitting my forehead with my hand. You know, these people are just nuts. Anyway, now I want to talk about the wing generator, and I'll just be brief, that the what we're scaling to now in the wing generator is 100 megawatts per wing generator. A single wing generator takes up an area of about an acre of land. And so to provide enough energy to run the entire country, and this is converting all of transportation to electric, it would take 11,000 of the 100 megawatt wing generators. And we're hoping that at some point we get up to 500 megawatts. And this is where that starts to make sense. With 500 megawatt wing generators, at a price tag of around $12 billion with a B, that's less money than the Air Force spends per year on toilet paper. We could provide wing generators for this country and there would be 2,300 of them. That's around 40 per state. And this is just to give you an idea of the scale of things. That's when you start getting to the idea that, okay, there is a solution out there, but spending $4,000 trillion on solar panels that only last 10 years is not the solution. And just a mention here, we are taking orders for the 10, 25, and 50 kilowatt wing generators. And one of the most exciting appliances that can go along with these is the EV charging station. And so I was running some numbers on this this past week. And if you were to convert your automobiles, say a ranch or a farm, put up a 50 kilowatt wing generator and convert your vehicle fleet to electric, pure electric, we have the, by the way, Ford just put $500 million into Rivian, I believe it's called. It's the all-electric pickup truck that is four-wheel drive, all-wheel drive. It goes from 0 to 60 miles an hour in like 2.3 seconds, and it can go 600 miles on a single charge. Amazing vehicle coming out in the next year. But if you could convert your automobiles and trucks, your pickup trucks, to electric, all of a sudden, the average price per mile, now if you buy gasoline, diesel for your trucks, you're paying about 15 cents per mile based on the current price of gasoline or diesel. with electricity, you're paying around 2.3 cents per mile. And after you pay for the wing generator and the EV charging stations, etc., you would be getting your transportation for free. So it's really, these are amazing numbers. And this is where the future is. This is where it's going to go. But anyway, if you're interested in wing generator becoming independent energy-wise on your farm or ranch, go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. And there's, just scroll down a little bit, there's an email address there, just email. And then we'll get back to you about filling out forms. And so we're contacting people that have contacted us over the last, quite a bit of time, and starting to process these orders. So we're starting to negotiate with people and understand their energy needs and go through all of the details that are necessary to start installing wing generators on these farms and ranches. And then, of course, the goal is to grow and start making the wing generators larger. We've got all the electronics done for up to 250 kilowatts. And also for there's the 10 and the 25 megawatt models that hopefully are going to come out very soon. Just a quick mention on Venezuela. I mean, I'm watching the news. It's an area that I happen to be familiar with. I have friends that go there regularly. What they're doing is they take a couple thousand people who have probably been paid, you know, a little bit of money to, here, go out in the streets and just stand there. And then they show this Guido guy that the United States is putting up as the so-called recognized president of Venezuela. Has never run in an election in his life. He's never been in an election, let alone a national election in Venezuela. And the United States is going, well, he's the recognized president. This guy has some, most of his life, he never lived in Venezuela. I mean, it's so absurd. But imagine if you could get 2,000 people in New York City to come out in the street and hold little banners and throw rocks. And then some foreign power would come in and say, well, the regime changed. We have to get rid of the president and put in this guy who never ever ran for public office. I mean, it is so absurd. It is so beyond absurd. But then you have to look at what's behind this. It's called oil. Venezuela is sitting on the biggest oil reserve on the planet. It is bigger than the entire Mideast oil fields combined. It is bigger than the United States oil supplies combined. I heard a news report that Venezuela, they said, was the biggest exporter of drugs, meaning cocaine, of course, to the United States. Well, wait a minute. There is a naval and air blockade on Venezuela. They can't get toilet paper. They can't get a ship in or out of Venezuela to any foreign country. So how do they manage to keep this massive drug trade of shipping that would be going to the United States? How do they manage to keep this going with a complete naval block on the country? I mean, the news that's coming out is so far-fetched that it's just being created. And what surprises me even more is that Trump is buying into this. Although I haven't seen him lately saying anything, he's got Bolton out there doing the talking. So anyway, it's really strange, and you can pick your favorite world player as to who is backing this in the United States to get the Venezuelan oil. So that's what's going on. And don't forget that Venezuela does not belong to the World Bank. It does not sell with the petrodollar. So anyway, you know, all these little things puts them, Venezuela, as the one of the so-called terrorist countries. And I even got a kick out of Bolton saying that they're in Pompeo, who's just as big a puppet, saying that they're analyzing closely the security risk that Venezuela poses to the United States. Venezuela doesn't even, I mean, they might have a helicopter or two that couldn't get to the United States if it, you know, if it tried. They probably don't have more than a couple of rowboats. I mean, what these people are coming up with is just, I mean, it's over the top Looney Tune. But what amazes me is all of the radio stations, all of the news media, including Fox News, everybody has bought into this. And you also have to understand that socialism in Cuba and in Venezuela is not socialism by choice. They made the choice to stay out of the World Bank, as did Bolivia, other countries, and that's their crime. I mean, that's the whole issue here. 2 months ago, there was a referendum in Venezuela, and there was 80% support for the current president of Venezuela. That's what the local people voted for, to maintain the currently elected president, name is Maduro, to keep him in office. But nobody bothers to mention that. No, somebody is after the oil of Venezuela, and it's a country that controls the United States, or an entity. Let's just put it that way. That's what it's all about. Very simple. Okay, so now for some discussion on some space, private space programs. The Blue Origin space launch system is being used. Now, this is this morning, and I have a new policy where I don't talk about things that are happening within the last 24 hours, because sometimes I have to take a good look at exactly what's happening, the successes, the failures, etc. And as with, it was a couple Thursdays ago that the Space IL Israeli company was landing on the moon just hours before my show, and I deferred discussion until the next week. But just wanting to let you know, I'll be talking about the Blue Horizons, or the, I'm sorry, Blue Origin spacecraft launch of this morning. Also recently, now this is kind of strange timing to say the least, but last week I went into a long tirade, and I was really remiss to do this, talking about the accidents and the failures in the space program, which I said were being caused by somebody. Somebody was out there preventing progress. When anybody gets too close to getting into outer space, they seem to have a little accident. And this recently happened once again with SpaceX, who was testing their crew capsule that would now be used. And of course, there's big competition here. We've got other companies like Boeing and big companies that do not want Elon Musk to succeed as a private. Elon Musk is just light years ahead of what these other companies, which had decades to do something, to get something off the drawing board and into space, and did not do it. Now it turns out that on April 20th, so this is, 10 days ago or something, SpaceX had a test of the crew capsule escape system on their Dragon space crew capsule, basically an Apollo-looking capsule. And the video was leaked. I saw the video, and that it is confirmed that that was a real video. And, of course, it was not supposed to be leaked. But, once again, who leaked this? NASA. And they're starting the firing of the rockets that would bring this capsule off of an exploding, or allegedly, or possible exploding rocket to save the crew capsule, and the entire capsule explodes. Now, I'll tell you something. I talked about this last week, and I was dead right on. I'll tell you something. If you don't think there's some hanky-panky going on behind the scenes, people trying to keep Elon Musk. Now, all of a sudden, Elon Musk was ready. They were said in 2019 would be the first manned flight to the space station. And all of a sudden, remember last week, I was very specific that it was the payloads that were exploding. Elon Musk had a problem with this before. And then all of a sudden, NASA leaks it. This is almost like in politics, where something happens and the opposing side leaks the information to make them look bad. So the end result is that Elon Musk's program to have manned space travel has what they call a setback. Yeah, a real setback when he was within months of having successful flights. And this, once again, the payload explodes. Wait a minute. And then you can hear the actual people who are watching this. And there was a lot of, let me just put it this way, foul language by the people being surprised of the space capsule exploding. But I'll tell you something, I just smell rotten eggs, rotten fish all over this deal. Because there are people that do not want you, or they do not want Elon Musk, who is, in a sense, public, even though Musk, when he settled the deal, when he was having trouble getting military launches, and all of a sudden he went to court saying, hey, we've got certification, we've got everything tested, we should be getting military launches also. They were just giving it to the good old boy companies. And so he went to court, and on the day they settled, $1 billion, or was it $10 billion, I forget, came in from Google and Fidelity. And those are both CIA-operated agencies. But anyway, $1 billion came into Elon Musk's SpaceX company. And at that point, I said, okay, Elon is bought and paid for. But there's, you know, when you get into that pecking order, the military-industrial complex, and you got the new kid on the block coming in, making waves, like I say, Boeing, Martin Marietta, all of these other companies had decades to do what Elon Musk is doing out of his own pocket, mind you. Elon Musk is not using government money. He's using his own money, and he's light years ahead of these other companies. And you better believe something else, that when he puts out a bid for help, let's put it that way, for engineers, the good ones are going to leave Boeing and other companies in a heartbeat. Or they're going to leave NASA. The good engineers, Elon Musk has got the pick of the best engineers because he's doing something. And that's what those guys want to do. They don't want to sit in some office and twiddle their thumbs for the next 20 years, because that's what it would be with NASA and Boeing and other companies, you know. So anyway, all of a sudden, the space capsule explodes, setting Elon Musk back. I'm telling you, this is not an accident. This is not by happenstance. Somebody is doing this. And, you know, in a failure like that with the retro rockets that would be lifting this capsule off of an exploding rocket, that's the whole point. And they had this on the Saturn V rockets with the Apollos. They had that little teeny rocket up on the nose that it could take the space capsule up and away. Then they would open up a parachute and come back down to Earth. And anyway, that was part of the Apollo system. And of course, they dropped that for the space shuttle. And there could have been the two fatal accidents of the space shuttle could have been averted if the system were put in place simply to put a parachute there. But they didn't do it. Anyway, this is smells of rotten fish all the way to Denmark. Okay, another issue that's going on right now, you'll probably see it in the news, so I want to give you a fair warning. NASA is going to do a simulation, I forget the exact date, it's coming up soon, where they're going to pretend that there's an asteroid that has got Earth on its, got Earth's number, it's allegedly going to hit Earth, and this is a simulation. And NASA is going to do a thing where they communicate with other, like the European Space Agency and other space agencies, so that they can knock this asteroid out and do whatever they're supposed to do to get rid of the threat. Well, the only problem is there isn't an asteroid, first of all. And second of all, they don't have any kind of anti-asteroid physical system in place. This is all, you know, like I could go out and do this. Yeah, I'm gonna go out and have, next week, I'm going to go have an anti-asteroid Jim McCanney, knock the asteroid out of the sky, save the Earth, you know, program. I mean, that's about, makes about as much sense as what NASA is doing, because they don't have any ability, they don't have any hardware. The ideas that they have are really stupid ideas, and none of them are going to work anyway. So I don't know what they're having this, all they're doing is trying to drum up money like they're doing something. Why don't they just have a pretend maybe lunar landing where they film it in a warehouse out in the American Southwest desert, and then they could pretend like they're going to the moon. NASA is the pretend space agency. They pretend to be a space agency. So they should call it PNASA, pretend NASA. Excuse me for getting off track here, but let me get back to the SpaceX deal, because this is really important to understand. Recently, Russia had a manned space launch go south, and once again, it was in mid-flight. The Russian rockets have an extremely high success rate, and this was, I believe, you know, from what I saw from the video of the Russian launch, I would categorize it as highly suspect that something happened and to basically marginalize that launch. We have Lockheed Martin with their Orion program, which is behind schedule, over budget, and is going to cost a lot more than the SpaceX. SpaceX has reusable rockets, which is going to save an awful lot of money. SpaceX is launching for about half the price of Lockheed Martin and Boeing. Boeing has the CST-100 Starliner, which is way over budget, behind schedule, and they were losing ground clearly to SpaceX. SpaceX, in terms of dollars, in terms of being on program, on target, on schedule, SpaceX was way ahead until the little accident where the crew capsule blew up during the staging test of the recovery system. Wow. You know, I'll tell you, folks, this doesn't get any stinkier than, it doesn't get any stinkier than this. Like I said, I was really hesitant to go into that diatribe that I did last week, but now I'm glad I did, because I was spot right on, as I am many times. I'm not always right, but this time I believe I'm spot right on. Okay, I'm about out of time here. Just remember my webpage, Wing Generator. There's an email address on my webpage. Go there, email if you're interested or an investor. Also, the water filter products on my webpage, the new book, etc. JMCCSCI.com. This is Jim McCanney. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we're at the crossroads. Good night.